Letting you know also is that when we get back in May, we're going to jump right back into this series because there's a lot more I need to share with you. And we're going to conclude the Daniel 70 weeks and what that is. So I'm going to take you back to what we talked about in part one, and then we're going to add to that in tonight's message. Remember, Daniel 70 weeks, God gave Daniel a vision explaining and answering Daniel's question. The question was, God, what's going to happen for our future? Anybody ask that question at all to the Lord? You know, God answers those questions, and he did with Daniel. It explains a time when they came out of captivity all the way to the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's quickly read this, Daniel chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring into everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, verse 25, and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. So he's expressing and explaining the time frames of what's going to happen in the future of Israel. There shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So what he has is a reality of 62 and 7 weeks. 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and then Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself, and the people, the prince, who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, this is talking about the tribulation, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. Verse 24 again, 70 weeks are determined for your people, speaking of Israel, and for your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. At the end of this series, we'll talk about the books in Revelation and who opens the books and all the above. So the term 70 weeks, again, let's go over this, in the Hebrew is hebdomads. Hebdomads means segments of 70 weeks. All right, verse 24 says 70 segments are determined for your people. Again, what did it say? 70 segments of 7 are determined for your people. So then our question should be this, what are the 70 segments? Daniel 9, verse 1 and 2 says this. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books, remember Jeremiah and Isaiah, the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. All right, so Jerusalem was destroyed, and for 70 years, he's speaking of Israel being in captivity. So he was asking, how long are we going to be in captivity? He answered, 70 years. So the weeks in chapter 9 are referring to years. There are 7 days in a week. 1 day equals 1 year. So when we do the math, a week in Daniel's vision is 7 years. Israel would be in captivity 70 years, it says. And at the end of 70 years, Babylonia was conquered. Babylon was conquered by Darius the Great, and the Medes destroyed them. Let's read verse 24 again, and we're going to continue going through what we've already taught last week. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish. So there's some things he's now saying, this is going to happen, 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 this is going to happen. All right? 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of the sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So again, the 70 weeks speaks of what happened to Israel in their future. The math, again, comes to this. 1 day equals a year. 1 week equals 70 years. 70 weeks equals 490 years. So, what we found out from the time the Jewish people are released from captivity, 490 years of Jewish time is left. What's going to happen to Israel? God's saying 490 years are left. After the 490 years, it's then the second advent when Jesus Christ returns on the second advent where he comes to the ground and sets up the millennial reign. All right? So again, as we laughed about and talked about, duh, Pastor, 490 years have already come to pass. This cannot be true. Well, let's go back to, remember we talked about the mystery, what wasn't revealed, what was revealed. So let's go back to qualify the 490 years. So the question, why was 490 years significant? So the answer is many of the Jews had that stuck in their brain, 490 years. So when Jesus was here, they knew that 490 years was real close. Okay? They knew that a little over 400 years had already passed when Jesus was born. And then when Jesus was crucified, there was 7 years left of the 490. So, let's talk about that. Why is this important? Because David represents, speaking of 490 years, David represents the pinnacle of the king in the Old Testament. Remember, Jesus from the house of David. All right? Israel were at their best right around David's death. Under Solomon, Israel became richer, but under Solomon, they also became carnal, and they began to diminish. All right? Always know that degeneration doesn't start with big sins. It starts with small sins. Scripture tells us this, whatever is not of faith is sin. So they became worse and worse until the captivity. So this is the very reason for the 70 years of captivity or the result of the deviation of sin. When David died, they were wealthy and they wanted more. So they did not let the land rest or Sabbath every 7 years as God ordered. All right? From the time of David's death until they went into captivity, 490 years. Leviticus 25, 2 and Exodus 23, 10 and 11 tells us, but in the seventh year, the land is to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. But they disobeyed. They said, hey, God's blessed us. We just work one more year. We don't have to Sabbath, and we'll just make more. But God said, no, Sabbath is mine. So their disobedience turned into idolatry and sexual perversion. Why? Because they didn't observe the sabbatical year that was to be every year. I'm not teaching on this, but just let me make a question or ask a question here. What do we do with Sabbath? when God says we should Sabbath? Do we? My testimony to you for years, I just thought, I just work more. Succeed. Victory with God, right? And Hebrews 11 says a lot of people die early. In other words, God had a plan. They died early. My question to you, why is that? Could it be that we haven't learned about Sabbath? All right, let's go on. By the way, in the fall, I'm going to teach on that. The question, in 490 years, how many Sabbaths did they owe God? 70. How long was their captivity? 70 years. During the 70 years of captivity, no one sowed the fields or pruned the vineyards. So God got his land. This is a principle of God, the Sabbath. History tells us, for the 70 years, squatters, we hear that word now, squatters and nomads came to the fields and vineyards to get the land to produce because it was empty. But history tells us that their crops failed and they never could harvest a crop because God didn't allow it. History also tells us when Israel returned after the 70 years, the land began to produce. So my question to you, why are people so worried? Why are Christians so worried about what's going on in the world? We need to be smart. We need to walk in wisdom. And we need to do the things the best we can. We need to vote. Amen. This fall, you need to vote. We need to do all the different things. But bottom line, we need to understand is that God has set up these time frames, and I'm not worried about nuclear war. I'm not worried about some flooding California. By the way, you know the big joke was when I lived in Michigan is that California was going to fall into the sea, right? Well, I got here. We haven't fallen yet, have we? So let's get a little contemporary and bring it closer to today. For 2,000 years, Israel was basically a dust bowl until 1948. And after 1948, when they became a nation, Israel returned to the land, and the land reproduced again. The land produced again. They have the best vegetables and fruit that is grown around the whole area, all the other nations. That's why all the other nations, they hate Israel. Because what they produce, what they harvest. Why is that? Because God blessed Israel. Israel outproduces all the nations that surround them. Now, you're asking me, Pastor, where did you get all this information? And I'm going to tell you from the Bible. Let's read this. 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. Chapter 36, 17 and 18. Therefore, he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young men, young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Verse 19, then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burnt all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until they ruled the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, till the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. It's right there in the Bible. Why did they go into captivity? Again, verse 21 says, to fulfill the Sabbaths. Here again, from the time of David's death to Babylonian captivity, 490 years. So with all this, what does God say to Daniel in the vision after Daniel was asking about Israel's future. Now, we covered the basics of the years, of time frames, of why the captivity, but let's go now a little bit further in this vision and begin to explain the future of our world. He approaches Daniel in the midst of captivity, and he says this, Daniel, you had 490 years before the 70-year captivity. Now I'll give you 490 years of Jewish time after the captivity. The first 490 years ended in destruction. The second 490 years will end in righteousness. Destruction, okay, captivity, rebuild, temple, Messiah cut off. We'll explain all this again. And then the mystery was the church, but the church is raptured. Then you have seven more years of Jewish time, and then you have righteousness, the millennial reign, and Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reigning on this earth. So let's pick it apart now. We will find it's the second advent that the King of Righteousness reigns, and of course his name is Jesus. After the captivity, for over 400 years, they enjoyed major prosperity. Israel did. You know why? They never went back to idolatry. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 through 14 was fulfilled that the blessings of God overwhelmed them. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Now as Jesus was born and came into this earth, Israel had begun or turned from God again. Not to idols, but they turned to Judaism into a religion. Israel took what God gave for their freedom and it took them into great bondage, the law. They took God's word and beat people over the head with it, turning freedom into legalism. You go to Israel today, most wonderful people in the world, but they're into legalism. They were in bondage to the Mosaic law. Now, the reason for the God-given law was to turn everyone's eyes to the Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the law. If you study the law, you're studying it is a relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. But all of the Old Testament and the law is always pointing towards the Messiah. They were so blinded and steeped into religion when Jesus came, they could not recognize him as the Messiah. They were deceived. They were blinded. Well, you say, well, I love all this history, but, Pastor, again, 490 years have passed. So let me answer your thoughts or other people's thoughts that you will have when you talk about this by looking at the 490 years shown to Daniel, or 70 weeks, or 70 segments of 7 years of the last 490 years. Daniel 9:24, again, very important. 70 weeks are determined for your people. Who are the people? 490 years are determined for the Jews or Israel, or we can say Jewish time. And the reason why we know that, because the same verse says, and for your holy city. What was the holy city? Jerusalem. The hub of biblical prophecy is not Rome. The hub of biblical prophecy is not the United States. It's Israel and Jerusalem. It's all about Israel and Jerusalem. Everything goes back to them. Again, don't get tired of verse 24. Let's read it again. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of the sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring into everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. To anoint the most holy is a picture of Jesus Christ sitting in the millennial reign. So you still think, well, Pastor, 490 years have passed. Daniel 9:25 says this, know therefore and understand. If Daniel understood, we can too. That from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. So let's break this down, okay? He's telling Daniel the 490 years will begin when a king gives a decree. Remember, we talked about this? The decree is to rebuild the holy city and rebuild the temple, the sanctuary. That decree was given in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2, by the king Artaxerxes of Persia, telling Nehemiah to rebuild the walls. That king had no clue what he was doing. For verse 24 is giving two time periods. From the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem is the first, found in Nehemiah 2, until the Messiah the Prince is the second. So the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Let's look at these two. There shall be 7 weeks from the command to rebuild the temple. It'll take 49 years for that to be rebuilt. And then from there, 62 weeks or 434 years. The decree took place. It took 49 years for them to rebuild Jerusalem to completion. From when the city of Jerusalem was built, it took 434 years until Jesus Christ was crucified, or 62 weeks. All right? 49 years to rebuild Jerusalem to completion. And once that was done, then it took 62 weeks or 434 years from that time that it was rebuilt to Jesus Christ was crucified. 7 weeks, again, 49 years. 62 weeks, 434 years, Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince, was crucified. That is a total of 69 weeks or 483 years. Remember, Jewish time is 490 years. So when Jesus was crucified, boom, on the button, it was 483 years. 7 years are left. Know therefore, verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublesome time. Look at this closely, verse 26. And after 62 weeks or 43 years, Messiah shall be cut off. Who is the Messiah? Jesus. When was Jesus cut off? The cross. So after the 62 weeks, once the city was built, 434 years later, the Messiah Jesus will be cut off or crucified. Now, then it says, verse 26, but not for himself. What does that mean, not for himself? Here's what he's saying. Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. when Messiah the Prince was cut off the cross, it wasn't for us, it wasn't for himself. He took our infirmities and he bore our sickness. He took our sin. He took our iniquities. At the cross, Messiah the Prince, Jesus, got cut off from us, taking our sin and sicknesses. So let's say it again. From the time of the decree to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and its completion, 49 years, 7 weeks. From the time of the completion of the city of Jerusalem, it took 434 years till the cross of 62 weeks. Jesus went to the cross, and the end of Daniel's 69th week of 70 weeks, he went to the cross 483 years on the nose after the decree to rebuild the city. You think God's in control? You think God's not in control? Here it is. All right? When Jesus went to the cross, Daniel's 69th week was completed, and there was one more week or 7 years left of Jewish time. So what does that tell you and me? One more week left or 7 years left of Jewish time or Daniel's 70th week. The tribulational period or the tribulation is called Daniel's 70th week. There it is. Daniel's 70th week has not been fulfilled yet. There is still one more week or 7 years of Jewish time left. Then verse 26 talks about the 70th week. Notice it jumps. Okay? Because remember, the church was a mystery. It was not taught. It was not revealed in time past. So when Daniel's looking at it, when the disciples were looking at this, all the prophecies, when all the Jewish people were looking at these prophecies, they were thinking, you know, when Jesus talked about the temple, and they said, look how beautiful this is. Remember, we talked about that. And Jesus said, there will not be one block on another. This will be destroyed. And they took it one of both ways. Either there's going to be a destruction of the Jews, or because of the prophecies we believe in, the war is going to start. You're going to come, we're going to get swords and spears and maybe machine guns, and we're going to destroy the Romans. Well, no, because the church was a mystery. And the people of the prince, this is talking about the last 7 years, and the people of the prince who is to come, the Antichrist, let's read it. And after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with a flood. And till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Tribulation. And that covenant is they're going to go back to Jewish time. They're going to go back to sacrifices. They're going to go back to what they were doing at that time. Because why? All the church is gone. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. What's it talking about? It's talking about the Antichrist. In the middle of the week, what's the middle of Daniel's week? 3.5 years. And in 3.5 years, the Antichrist then will be demonically overwhelmed, and he will stop the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even unto the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. In other words, he will go after and try to kill everybody that does not accept him as God or the Messiah. Excuse me. The church age dispensation has been inserted in between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel's vision. But it was a mystery and not told to Daniel. So for over 2,000 years, Jewish time has stopped. After Jesus was crucified, rose again, Jewish time stopped. And now the church began. Church began in Acts chapter 2. But remember, Jesus said, I want you to wait. To wait for the Holy Spirit to be given to you. That's when the church began. So the question again, why didn't Daniel know the church was coming? The answer again is the church was a mystery in time past that is now revealed to us today. Daniel thought all 490 years were consecutive because he didn't know the mystery of the church. Isaiah 9:6, let's look at this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Matthew 21, verse 9 says, Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, let's go over this. So 483 years of Jewish time, 49 weeks, okay, 49 years and 434 years. Now, then you have the 69th week Jesus is crucified. Jewish time stopped, and there's 7 years left, or 1 week left. God begins another time frame called the church. One day, the rapture will take place, and the church is removed. Then, Jewish time, because the church is removed, will begin again, and the 70th week will begin and 7 years of tribulation. To reiterate, in the tribulation, again, the earth goes back to Jewish time, temple worship, sacrifices, so it's impossible for the church to be here. God removes the church with the rapture. In the beginning of the 70th week, the first converts will be, remember we talked about this, not the Jehovah's Witness, first converts will be 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. They will receive Christ as Savior because the Holy Spirit will still be here. He is not removed like a lot of people teach. Holy Spirit will still be here. You can't have salvation without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit will still be here, but the church is removed. We are the ones that are hindering the Antichrist from coming. As long as you're here, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. Again, they are not Jehovah's Witnesses or what Calvinists believe. The moment the church is raptured and is gone, the earth reverts back of the time of the cross. Now, it's not like a movie where they still have all the machinery of the day and all that, but the reality, it goes back to Jewish time. Israel was the dominant on the earth, but we're under Roman authority. The first 40 years after the cross, Israel was scattered because of Roman rule. But the moment the church is removed, Israel will become, again, the dominant power, but will be ruled by the Roman Empire, or the revised, or the revived Romans. All right? So when you hear about Rome and all this stuff, you got to understand, they're part of the picture in the end. Its leader will make a covenant with Israel as the Messiah. But the false Messiah leader will break the covenant 3.5 years into the 70th week. And so what we find, 3.5 years after the covenant is broken, Jesus will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The end of the 7 years. So what you have is you have great move of God during the tribulation. Now, when we come back after our break, we're going to start teaching on the tribulation. We're going to go over the tribulation and what happens at the beginning, about the 144,000. We'll talk about the two witnesses. And a lot of people argue who the two witnesses are, but I'm going to show you a scripture that tells us exactly who they are. I'll read it to you. It'll tell who they are and what they did, because the prophecy tells everything what they would do. And it's right there, but I'm not going to tell you until we come back. Huh? So I like having fun with teaching, but I want you to just really take what I've given you and really go over, pray over this, because biblical prophecy creates a lot of confusion in the church. You know, people believe this, they believe that, they believe this, they believe that, but I'm taking you to Scripture, and I'm giving you the simplistic aspect of, a lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit's going to be taken. Well, you can't have salvation. So then no one's going to get saved during the tribulation. There's going to be the greatest move of the gospel of Jesus Christ in 7 years that this world's ever known. Greater than Acts chapter 2. Greater than the time frame of the writing of the epistles. There's going to be such a move of God during the tribulation, but you and I aren't going to be here. Yeah, we'll come back with him, second advent. We'll be gone for 7 years. Remember, where are we in that 7 years? We're at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, receiving our rewards. Because we're in fellowship, that our works are of gold, silver, and precious stones, not wood, hay, and stubble. Because we'll be tried by fire. Our works will be tried by fire. Our faith brought us to heaven. We're going to heaven because we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But our works will be tried by fire. And if our works are done in fellowship with God, that's gold, silver, and precious stones. But if we're in sin and we're doing good works, they're wood, hay, and stubble. They'll be burned up. You won't receive rewards. Because there's a lot of people will say, well, how do you get to heaven? Just be good. No. How do you live your life and be better, be good? Now, do good works. We are to do good works. But do it in fellowship without sin. How do you do that? By confessing 1 John 1:9, our sin, and walking in righteousness. And in righteousness, we do good works. And from there, the little granny over in the corner of the church is going to receive more rewards than the guy that stands up with his tithe envelope going, look what I'm doing, look what I'm doing. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. You know, this woman gives this two mites, and you're given all this thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, she's going to receive greater reward than you, because you're doing it out of fellowship with God. You're doing it for your own good. You're not doing it from the heart that she has. So at the judgment seat of Christ, she received more rewards than you. Okay, so let's finish with this, and then we will be done for this time. 3.5 years after the covenant is broken, Jesus will return as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the millennial reign. Why? He's, remember verse 24? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, because Satan will be bound, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring an everlasting righteousness. How does that happen? Jesus Christ is the leader, the king. To seal up vision and prophecy, we'll bring that up next time together when we talk about the second advent, when we talk about opening the scrolls in the book of Revelation and all of that, and be anointed, Jesus being anointed the most holy. And forever and ever and ever and ever, you and I will be together with the Lord. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to conclude. We can go ahead. Randy, you can go ahead and stop the recording.